WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. When charter schools began in Indiana during Bart Peterson's administration in 2002, the original charter schools, the original schools that got charters, were not entities of out-of-state corporations or nonprofit entities or people that had charter schools in other states. These were local organizations, local people who started charter schools. The first three charter schools was Charles Tinley, Crystal House Academy, and the Flanner House Elementary Charter School. Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated, that has been around since 1898, serving the African-American community, had a preschool that had developed into an elementary school up to the third grade. When the opportunity to have a charter school came forward, people said, gee, let's have the elementary school become a charter school. At that point, a separate nonprofit corporation with a separate board of directors, a separate federal and state ID number, was created as Flanner House Elementary Charter School Incorporated. Even though they were located right at Flanner House at 24th and Dr. Martin Luther King, it was a separate entity, and they began as a charter school. And they did pretty well. And then 3 years ago, in 2012, during the iRead test, the second year of iRead, the third graders at Flanner House scored the lowest scores ever to be known in iRead. But at the same time, those same third graders did pretty good in iStep. And I raised that issue with the former superintendent of public instruction, Tony Bennett, and he said, oh, that's an anomaly. The next year, in 2013, in iStep, Flanner House's students in English language arts and math earned nearly a virtual perfect score, 98.8 in English language arts, 97.6%. It's just the African Americans, all African Americans there, passed iStep. The year before, in 2012, passing of English language arts was about 69%, math was 75%. The fact that Flanner House got nearly a perfect score raised some eyebrows to the point where the city's Office of Educational Innovation, that monitors charter schools, started to kind of take a look at what was going on, and they asked the state of Indiana also to kind of take a look. Then this year in 2014, you know, to be consistent, they started looking at how iStep was conducted in 2014. The scores fell a little bit. Kind of fell back to 68% passing English language arts, 74.7% passing math. But in the course of looking at that, there were a number of things that the state of Indiana, the Department of Education, found. And what they found was evidence that adults had given the students at Flanner House, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth grades, answers to the test, questions in the test. Adults were helping to write or change the essay question answers in iStep. So you'd see a kid's handwriting, then an adult's handwriting, then a kid's handwriting, erasing the bubble marks that you make on the test forms. It's like you're doing a ballot, erasing them with the wrong answers and putting the correct answers, making the bubble marks perfect. Nobody makes bubble marks perfect on a test. You don't make bubble marks perfect when you go vote. And that investigation led to some serious concerns on behalf of the state and on behalf of the city. Those concerns were presented to the board of directors of the Flanner House Elementary Charter School. Last night, that board met in an emergency meeting and voted 5-1 to close the school effective September 11th. In the House is Scott Elliott of Chalkbeat, Indiana, veteran education reporter. We'll get his take in a bit, but we wanted to start with the state of Indiana, our Department of Education, because they have ruled that the iStep scores for 2013 and 2014 for Flanner House Elementary Charter School are invalidated, And folks don't know exactly what that means. Daniel Altman is a spokesperson for Indiana's Department of Education. He joins me live. Daniel, welcome.
Good afternoon, Amos. Thanks for having me.
This is not something pleasant that any educational institution or a State Department of Education wants to deal with, and that is accusations of cheating and academic fraud at any level of education.
No, absolutely not. This is not something that the department wants to be talking about here. We believe that there are great things that are happening in public schools throughout the state, and we'd be much, especially in Indianapolis as well, and we would much prefer to be talking about them. But unfortunately, when we find these issues, obviously, we have an obligation to make sure that they're known, and that's what we're here to do today.
When these, this was an investigation that occurred both last year after ISTEP, as well as this year. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Last year, the mayor's office brought some information to our Office of Assessment, and so we began to look at last year's assessment for Flanner House, and then that also through the course of time included this year as well, and when we found other issues of what are called test security violations. We obviously brought that information, worked with the mayor's office on that information, and also shared that information with Flanner House as well.
On test security, on ISTEP tests are supposed to be treated like SAT tests or ACT tests, the ballots for the Academy Awards or the Emmy Awards under lock and key.
Yes, that's correct. The tests need to remain secure, obviously, so that we can ensure that, that there aren't any, instances where teachers have access to the questions beforehand to get them to students, or that teachers have access to the tests afterwards so that they can change responses. Obviously, those become very serious issues if teachers do have that ability to make those changes.
What does invalidate ISTEP mean? Does that mean that if a parent is sitting at home, a Flanner House parent, and they have their child's ISTEP information, are they supposed to throw it away? Is it worthless? Does that mean if those students move to other schools, the school they're going to can't look at that data? Is the data going to be scrubbed or erased from the state's the Department of Education's web system and the public data? What does invalidate really mean in real terms?
So what it means is that the department will there will not be any data that's reported for Flanner House for the 2013 assessment or the 2014 assessment. That means that if a parent of a student at Flanner House goes to look at the ISTEP scores, it may not have happened yet, but it will soon. What will show up is that the scores are undetermined.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we found is through the course of the investigation with the erasure analysis that you were talking about and you gave a really good explanation of, as well as giving questions, we simply can't determine exactly what any one student's scores should or should not have been. So that's what would show up for a parent if they go on and look at it. What that means from a perspective of students moving to new schools, it shouldn't have any effect on them there. ISTEP scores shouldn't play into and will not play into students moving into another school now that Flanner House will be closing its doors in a few weeks.
What was the reaction of Superintendent Ritz when you all presented this information to her?
I think the most important thing is she's just incredibly disappointed to see this information and to realize that this had occurred. I think it's also fair to say that she was pretty surprised when you sit down and look at some of the numbers of the numbers of erasures and things like that that had happened. It was a pretty there was quite a bit there, and obviously that's both surprising and incredibly disappointing.
Has there, in talking to people since this morning, since this story broke, everybody has concern for the young people, the 179, I believe it is, students at Flanner House, or any students that were at Flanner House Elementary last year that may have transferred to other schools and now their ISTEP for 2013 is invalidated, and concerned that these, you know, they'll hear the headlines tonight on TV and the newspaper, scandal, you know. No, we're not talking about Kerry, we're talking about real scandal. But these kids were not his fault. I understand during the investigation, some young people were asked what their ISTEP experience was, and they told the truth. They admitted that they saw questions and they just thought it was part of the preparation for the test.
Yes, that's accurate. In particular, this year in the 2014 test, there's a portion of I-STEP. Some of it is multiple choice, mm-hmm. but then there's some that's what's called the applied skills section, which is an open-ended question and the student right. writes it out. When they got the question for the applied skills section, there were students who raised their hand and were saying, oh, this will be easy. This is the question that we already had. And the students are absolutely telling the truth, and that's great. And obviously, they did the right thing. And I think it's important to note that none of this is in any way a reflection on the work that the students did.
They're in the documents, and we posted them at a website, praiseindy.com. There are the names of some educators mentioned that, that may have been part of this wrongdoing. Are there sanctions that could occur to them? Are these licensed people that could have their license suspended or worse?
Well, I can't speak to any one specific educator versus another, mm-hmm. obviously. I guess one thing that I think is important to note is through the department's investigation, we were able to find out that this happened in the building. Mm-hmm. That doesn't necessarily mean that we know exactly the specific person who did or didn't do it, mm-hmm. whether it was every teacher doing it, whether it was right. one. There are a lot of questions out there that we don't that aren't answered in this report right mm-hmm. now.
I know Superintendent Ritz, you know, has a deep and abiding concern for kids. And going back to her days of teacher, has there been any discussion of perhaps the superintendent writing a note to each of those students at Flanner House Elementary, kind of saying, hey, this was, you know, adults let you down. This was not our fault. Keep your head up. Something that that those young people can get and their parents can get that can kind of lift them up.
Well, I definitely think that's an interesting idea. I'm going to take that right back to her right now this afternoon. There hasn't been the way that the school closure process or the this works for I-STEP is the school is responsible for informing parents.
Right.
And so they
I understand that's been going on since kids were dropped off this morning.
Exactly. And so they have to let the parents know that the scores right. were invalidated for these 2 years. The department also wants to let them know that, unfortunately, because we don't have I-STEP scores for last year, they're 4-star status also.
The banner has to go, banner has to come down and go back.
Yes, it does, unfortunately. And so the school will be responsible for that, and they obviously need to let parents know why this is happening as well.
Has there been any instance in the past where the Department of Education has had to invalidate I-STEP scores of any schools here in Indiana?
Yes, there have been from time to time. Last year there was another school here in Indianapolis that had some scores invalidated.
Was that a public school, a private school, a charter school?
It was a private school.
A private school?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so this is not just a public school thing?
No, it is not.
Daniel Altman with the Department of Education, thank you. And see whether your boss would be interested, because if this wasn't the kid's fault, they ought to be given something that kind of lifts them up.
No, absolutely. It's a great idea.
Scott Elliott has covered education for a long time. Is this something new in your experience, Scott?
Sadly, no. We've really had, I think, over about the last 5 years nationwide, states and others, also journalists, I should say, have gotten better and better at identifying suspicious looking schools. We've had major scandals in Washington, D.C., and Atlanta, and Philadelphia, and other cities. So sadly, this is not uncommon. Myself, you know, I've been covering education, more than 15 years. This is the second time I've written about a particular major scandal involving a single school. The case I covered before in Ohio had all the same hallmarks as Flanner House's case.
Was this a small self-contained school, or was this a single school as part of a system?
The prior story that I covered?
Yeah, in Ohio.
Yeah, it was just like this. It was a small charter school, made a stunning gain in 1 year. Prompted me to look a little further into it. Mm-hmm. Soon, just like the mayor's office in this case, they had a particularly helpful employee who shared some information with them. In my case, that's how that worked. It was me they shared information with in Ohio and led to a similar kind of outcome. They didn't not close the school, but they fired the entire school board and the superintendent was charged with a crime.
What was the most shocking thing of what came out of what occurred here?
I mean, there's no other way to put it. It is shocking and frankly kind of horrifying when adults take action like this. I mean, I don't know what they're thinking, if in fact everything that we think occurred here occurred here. I just don't understand what an adult is thinking when they change a student's test score. It does not benefit the child. It really doesn't benefit the school. I mean, if the school is struggling to perform on tests, that's an important thing that everyone should know and that folks should be honest about and try to solve that problem. But at the individual student level, it's particularly harmful because, that student, their parents, their teachers are given a false impression of where their ability stands at that moment. And sometimes it can actually mean that they get, you know, they're not given services they probably need. Like, for instance, they might not be identified for special education services or extra help of various kinds. It's a very sinister thing, I think, for children in this case.
239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. So we're getting your reaction to, I-STEP scores for 2013 and 2014 for the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders at the Flanner House Elementary Charter School, which is, a separate nonprofit, entity from Flanner House of Indianapolis that has been serving, this community for 116 years. 239-1310. 239-1310. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from you. You know, what you think of all of this? We also have a statement from the board of directors of the Flanner House Elementary Charter School. Obviously, they have their hands full, you know, talking with parents, dealing with staff, and what have you. We'll also hopefully hear from the folks at Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated. That's the multi-service center that's got the library in it that has a United Way 4-star quality preschool that does very, very well. And get their reaction to all of this. It's Afternoons with Amos on a Thursday.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
And even though the elementary charter school carries the name of Flanner House, it's only been in business since 2002. That is 12 years. Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated has been serving Indianapolis for 116 years. It began as the community center for the then colored, quote-unquote, community back in 1898. Carrying on the stewardship of Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated is Executive Director Wilbur Buckner, and he joins me on our live line. Mr. Buckner, welcome.
Hi, Amos. How you doing?
I'm fine. Obviously, you are the shepherd. You are the steward of a 116-year-old institution that had nothing to do with the operation of the elementary school. The only difference is the school utilizes some of your facilities and has their portable classrooms on part of your property. What has been the mood of people who have come into the multi-service center, into the library today, as well as the Flanner House of Indianapolis staff to all of this?
Well, Amos, for the most part, you know, first of all, people didn't necessarily know what was going on. So, you know, it's kind of come as a shock for lots of people at this point.
You also have a high-quality preschool early learning center. In fact, the early learning center has been a part of Flanner House for many, many years, and that early learning center begat first, second, and third grade back in the day, even before anybody even invented charter schools. What's the reaction of that staff, the school staff today, your school staff?
Well, you know, our overall staff,
yeah.
For all of us, really, you know, it's kind of a sad day for us. I think that we certainly are most concerned about parents and children at this point. That's where the impact really is. And so, you know, Flanner House of Indianapolis, you know, we stand really ready to try and help in any way we can going forward. We really want folks to understand that we are still in operation. We're doing our thing. We have been for 116 years, and we're going to continue to do the excellent work that we've done in the community.
And want to reinforce that the members of your board of directors, Flanner House of Indianapolis, have no connection. There's no cross-pollinization on the board of the school.
No, that's true. We, we are two separate organizations with two separate boards and two separate 501c3s.
And we also want to make sure that today that the community is getting the most accurate information. I'm looking at the website of the Indianapolis Star, and obviously they forget that the former owner of the Star, the Pulliam family, was strong supporters of Flanner House of Indianapolis, Inc. for many, many years. So would somebody tell the Indianapolis Star writers that Flanner House is not located at Fall Creek and Dr. Martin Luther King? They're at 2424 Dr. Martin Luther King. So we're trying to get the correct information out. If you go to Fall Creek, that's Watkins Park.
Yes, yeah, thank you, Amos. You just handled it.
I just handled that. One other thing, we talked earlier to try to at least have the community hear your voice today, and then I looked at my personal email and I saw a note from you all at Flanner House that had some incorrect information as to what actually happened to the school. It indicated that the charter was revoked, which is not the case. The board of directors of the school voted 5-1 on yesterday evening to close the school on their own volition. Have you made the corrections in that statement?
We have not, but I will be doing that immediately.
All right. Wilbert Buckner and United Way also sent out an attaboy and attagirl about the wonderful work that Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated does, that you guys have been, I think, almost a charter member of United Way of Central Indiana, going back to the old community fund.
I believe so. I believe so. Yeah, we have been a United Way agency for many years, and proud of that that partnership.
And so Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated ain't going nowhere. They're here. They're not closing. They're open for business. And there'll be the parent meeting today, 3:30. It's going to go from 3:30 to 6:30 for parents today and tomorrow to answer all concerns. And if you've got regular services that you need done at Flanner House of Indianapolis Incorporated, they're there at the regular hours. The library is open. Everything's according to Hoyle.
That's correct. That's correct.
Wilbert Buckner, Executive Director of Flanner House of Indianapolis, Inc., serving for 116 years, and they want to go for another 116 years. Wilbur can't hang for another 116 years, maybe 40 or 50. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Amos.
All right, let's start with the phones today, and Ted. Hi, Ted.
And I have a couple of questions. There are some very dedicated, long-time educators who believe that the entire school system, not only in Indiana, but in other states, is going more toward teaching to the test as opposed to the kind of traditional learning that you grew up with, Amos. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know what these gentlemen think about that. And then, secondly, if it is a necessity, if it is here to stay, is there data to show that you get more graduation, higher scores, students are doing better in college? Is there data to legitimize it, or is it just a change that's just going to stay because it's here?
That's a great question. Scott Elliott, there is a lot of conversation, not just here in Indiana. Chalkbeat is in New York and Colorado and Tennessee, and there are a lot of discussions in those states and others about teaching to the test and the pressure that some people are tempted to do that temptation.
Yeah, I think the caller has the right idea here. Testing is obviously not new. I mean, the SAT, I think, off the top of my head, was launched in the 40s or the 30s, perhaps. So we've had standardized testing as an element of our measurement in schools for decades. But what's new is, since No Child Left Behind, the idea that with a significant battery of tests, you would get more information and be better able to guide instruction in a way that would make students learn more. I think whether or not that's proven true is a really open question. And whether or not it will last this way forever, I think, is also an open question. We've seen significant pushback across the country really just in the last 2 years, I would say. You see groups urging people to opt their children out of taking testing, or pushing back in legislatures trying to get changes made. You know, of all places, Texas, where all this started. Yeah, No Child Left Behind was basically born with George Bush in Texas before it came to Washington. Texas has pulled back on some of its standardized testing due to a pushback from parent groups, so things could change.
Let me go to Eric at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos. I'm just wondering, are you somewhat of a conspiracy theorist? Because I am. I'm just asking that question because I got two comments.
Okay.
When I say that, I'm talking about the things that are going on down in Missouri. For one, me and a cousin of mine were talking about, you know, when somebody throws a bottle or a water bottle or whatever out to the police, you know, everything's going peaceful. We, you know, we ourselves are thinking that, you know, what if that's the CIA planting somebody in there to do that? You know, things are going real peaceful and then all of a sudden somebody pitches a bottle and then all of a sudden things are going awry. And then the other thing is that there's a lady that's protesting for the officer right in the middle of the protesters. I saw that on CNN today. So that's kind of like, it's just weird. I mean, that could start something.
Well, let me put it back down because I don't know whether you're listening to the radio or you just called in because we're talking about a charter school that's had their I-STEP test invalidated for the last 2 years because of cheating. But let me phrase this because I think that there's listeners thinking conspiracy theories. One of the problems with this situation in Flanner House, if this were a school system like a Pike Township or a Warren Township or a Carmel Clay, and there had been a problem in a building, it's easy for the school system to replace the employees of the building, reassign other employees from the system, and keep the school open. Since this school was just a standalone, they had no other schools. They can't do that, so you're stuck. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because there's some people that say, aha, this is a plot to do whatever. Well, I don't think so. I think it goes back to the pressure to want to do well. The pressure of, and we don't know whether the staff at this school is paid more if the test scores go up. You know, like a commission or something. We don't know that, but obviously it motivated somebody or someone's to cheat to try to get the numbers up so the school looks good.
To make the school look better or to get funds or money allotted to the school system? Or
it would not be money allotted to the system per se. It doesn't affect whether you have the worst I-STEP scores or the best does not change the amount of money the legislature gives you. And now it would allow you to get maybe more private grants, to help the school. Ah, this is a 4-star school. Let's, give them a grant for this or that. But it doesn't increase your funding from the state. But what it does is it gives you bragging rights. It's no different than if you are in last place in the NFL and suddenly you become first place in the NFL. You know, you get on national TV more. People, you know, think about you more.
If nothing else, it makes the school look better.
Yeah, I mean, it's no different than A-Rod. Why did A-Rod juice himself?
Exactly.
To perform.
I'm sorry for jumping off topic, too, Amos. I hadn't heard the conversation previously. I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. But, you know, but part of what you said is what some other people are thinking on this issue. I appreciate it, my brother. Let me go to Robert at 239-1310. Hi, Robert.
How you doing today, Amos?
Fine.
I just like to make a comment about Flanner House School Charter's closing. As a taxpayer, I'd like to see the participants in that wrongdoing, which is eventually probably a crime, is to for the people that participate in. I'd like to see some of them go to jail. The participant go directly to jail after a trial if they are convicted, because what they're doing, they're not playing with just a common act. They're injuring those are kids, because in the future they'll be ill-prepared, and eventually they'll be diverted right into the prison pipeline because they won't have any skills or know how to study or acquire the information, educational information.
That's a great point. Is this Scott Elliott a crime? Or do we even know?
We don't know. I asked this question of the mayor's office yesterday, and they told me that they were unsure, that they referred that question to their legal counsel and they're awaiting a response. I think I'm fairly confident that if an individual were able to be demonstrated as having been involved in cheating and they were a certified teacher, that the state could move to remove their certification, basically end their teaching career. Now, I can tell you, though, again, this is from my prior experience covering cheating. One of the fascinating things I learned about school cheating in that case, and I think it's also true in Indiana, is it's very rarely prosecuted. I mean, it's rarely investigated. When it is investigated, it's pretty hard. Dan Altman from the state was here, and he said that, you know, they would have to figure out if they could determine who in the school was responsible or perhaps most responsible for the cheating. That's not an easy thing to do. And a bigger question is, like, whose responsibility is it to investigate that? I mean, people don't really realize just how much trust we put in educators when it comes to standardized tests. You know, the test does not come with a security team. Right, it doesn't. There's no McGraw-Hill truck that rolls up in front, and you know, a group of McGraw-Hill security people like sweep the school or anything like that. Here's what happens: box of tests show up in the mail.
Mm-hmm. I mean, literally in the mail.
Yeah, it shows up usually from UPS or a delivery service. Right, they often hold the tests for 7 to 10 days. It's pretty common. So they have all these requirements they're supposed to follow. It's supposed to go in a locked cabinet that no one except the test coordinator designated for the school is supposed to handle the tests, etc. But in this case, one of the things they found was the school leader told the mayor's office that while it was locked up, she lost the key and did
How
not.
How do you lose the key to the cabinet where you got the test locked up?
That was something the mayor's office wanted to know an answer
Drew's
to.
Eyebrow just rose up going, what? Yeah, that's in the document. So you go online, praiseindy.com. Good points, Robert. Let me go to Don, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi, Don.
How you doing, Amos?
Fine.
You know, this portion about the educational piece that the mayor is putting on, I think that's just more political. I believe that, you know, the biggest crime for people, the people who committed the most crime are the parents. You're familiar with the formative years, aren't you, Amos?
Mm-hmm.
The formative years are the years that the kids really learn before they go to start kindergarten, things like that. The school is just like an oven. Once you have those kids in the formative years sort of understanding authority and manners and things like that, then you take them and put them in the oven, which is the school, and then that's when they bake, begin to grow. So again, the people who have committed the crime, I believe, would be the parents of these children, and trying to have early education, that's fine. But until you get that element incorporated into the whole situation, you're just throwing away money. That's
you know,
my comment for the
well,
day.
Well, hold on, Don, because I kind of figured you were going to bring up parents, but you didn't go the way I thought you were going to go, which is the way my household went last night. When I was explaining what happened, they were saying, wait a minute. I said, Amos, if the kids told the investigators that, you know, they were prepped on the questions or the test was easy because they'd already seen the questions and the answers beforehand. If they told strangers that in the school, what did they tell Mama? And if they told Mama that, why didn't Mama do something?
Well, once again, Amos, there's no communication in the black family, in the black community. That's why no one told anything. I mean, it's just like, you know, that situation there in Ferguson, those people are complaining about they had the power to vote that prosecutor out, vote the mayor out. You got 65% African American. They have the power to make that change, but they didn't do it. Obviously, they didn't go out and vote. That's what I got out of that whole thing. They did not go vote, but now they want to complain. So, like, and the same thing happens here in Indianapolis. You know, a lot of times we don't go out and vote, but we want to complain. If you want to change something, like you always say, go to the polls, educate yourself, and vote these suckers out. That's my comment for the day.
I appreciate it. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. See, if you're a parent of a student at the Flanner House Elementary School, or perhaps your child or your grandchild or your niece and your nephew was a student last year at Flanner House Elementary Charter School, and you transferred to another school, but you took the I-STEP last year, and now that test is invalid. See, they haven't raised. What does that mean if you were? You may have questions, or if you have already been, you know, were told this morning, what were you told? 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after these.
Hello, this is Pam Hickman, City County Councilor at Large, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
We had extended an invitation to the board of directors of Flanner House Elementary Charter School to come on the program, make a statement. They are obviously very busy talking with staff and parents. But they did text me a statement from President Pat Rowe and asked if you can share as a board. We are concerned about the perception in the community, but believe our first priority is to the families we serve. We are trying to help our families make decisions that are in the best interest of their young person. We will come on the show to share our story at a later date, probably next week. Thank you. That's again a text message from Pat Rowe, who is the chair of the board board of the Flanner House Elementary Schools, which is completely separate, not connected, except they just happen to be in the same location with Flanner House of Indianapolis. That's been around 116 years. 239-13. Oh, and IPS, there'll be a number of schools interested being a home for the 179 students that are at the Flanner House Elementary Charter Schools. In a tweet, IPS Superintendent Dr. Louis Farabee said IPS is prepared to receive Flanner House Charter School students with exceptional service amid I-STEP cheating scandal. Proud to be public. I'm sure, Dr. Farabee, because that's $6,000-$7,000. Okay, anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310 to the phones, and Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hello, I'm just coming in on the tail end of this conversation, but I'm curious as to know whether or not did the teachers actually give the students the exact test, or did they, in preparation or trying to prepare the kids for the test, give them similar questions that when they took the test, they would be familiar with it. So I'm just... That's just my question.
I think Scott Elliott was a little bit of both.
Yes, that they had some questions. Then that this was right from the students' own interviews that they recognized some questions on I-STEP as the exact questions they had taken before, and some were different. That was what one of the students was quoted as saying.
The other thing, I guess, there are essays on I-STEP, and I guess some of the essay topics had to do with superheroes mm-hmm. from specific movies, and they play the specific movies for some of the kids three or four, about a week or two before I-STEP. Now, you could call that coincidence, or you could call that somebody knew what the movies were they were going to be asked about.
Okay.
You know, and there's also evidence of adults completing some of the writing on the essays where the student's handwriting is supposed to be. So you see students' handwriting and then adult handwriting.
Okay. I was just curious. I mean, I'm just now hearing this, so I was just curious as to if it was actually the actual test questions, or were they just similar questions so that they were preparing the children for the test?
No, in the documents, it is both.
Okay.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Brad at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, good afternoon, Amos.
Good afternoon.
My question you answered, but I have another question. I was concerned about what's going to happen to the children and the well-being. My second question, since you already addressed that, is this. What do I do as a parent? I mean, if this cheating scandal is something that causes Flanner House to shut down, what do I do as a parent to prevent this? I mean, what do we supposed to do in order to prepare our children for issues like this? Can you give us any advice?
Are you currently a parent of a kid at Flanner House Elementary?
Not at Flanner House, no, sir.
I think the first thing, quite honestly, I'm going to let Scott Elliott add into, is be alert and aware of what is going on at your school. One of the things that was the trigger for this is when the scores for the kids at Flanner House suddenly went to virtually perfect 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that raised eyebrows. It raised my eyebrows when we celebrated it on the program. And I talked to a couple of board members, and I said, are you guys sure that this is legit? You know, I want to celebrate, you know, the fact that we got a charter school, particularly predominantly African-American charter school, where the kids knocked it out of the park. I said, you need to look at that principal and look that principal in the eye and say, you know, is this legit? Is everything together? And one of the things in the state investigation and the city investigation, when the state sat down with the school leaders and said, what did you guys do to get this great performance out of your kids, instead of coming up and showing them, this is what we did, this is what we did, it was kind of a hem-haw approach. It seems to me if you've been successful taking kids from worst to first, you would be bragging and coming out, hey, we use Dr. Slabowski, we use this method, we use that method. And when they didn't hear that, that raised some eyebrows. Scott?
Yeah, I think you're right on the money, Amos. I mean, the first thing is, you know, parents can do the same thing. Both Amos and I started asking questions of folks last year when the big jump in test scores came out. So all we did was the same thing any parent could do, which is look at your school's track record and how they performed on tests. And if you see a really big change in the test score, just ask yourself, why might that have occurred, whether it's up or down? I mean, if I were a parent and my I am a parent, and if my children's school made a huge dive in test scores, I'd be up at the school the next day wanting to know why they think the scores went down. You should probably also ask if the scores go up dramatically. You should go up there and ask the questions that Amos just suggested.
Or the other thing is ask your kid, how was I-STEP? How was it? And if you got a great rapport with your kid might say, hey, Dad, it was great. It was easy. We had some of the same questions yesterday in the prep.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been bing, 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 the bell ringing off.
If your child tells you that, too, tell somebody. I mean, I would go ask the principal about it. I would ask the superintendent's office. I mean, I definitely communicate that if you were ever to hear something like that from your child.
Okay.
That's a great question, my brother. I appreciate it. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi. How are you this afternoon?
We're fine. Go ahead, Judy.
I'm sorry. Hi. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. My question is reference tutoring in IPS grade school.
Uh-huh.
I have a 7-year-old that goes to IPS school that's having issues with reading. I contacted the school to see how I could get him a tutor,
mm-hmm.
and they said that basically they had no idea, right? But I know they have programs, and I've looked in at a couple different other grade schools that have tutoring, but it doesn't start till like the third grade. So, you know, reading is fundamental.
Mm-hmm.
You read before the third grade, and I'm trying to find out where is there is there a number to contact for, you know, to get somebody for tutoring, or why don't they have tutoring in the lesser grades in IPS?
That's a very, very good question, and I don't have a good answer for that. Have you called downtown the superintendent's office?
I called downtown, and their response to me was, well, you know, talk to some of your friends or contact some of the universities that, you know, maybe the students are majoring in early childhood education, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, thank you.
Scott Elliott, do you know of tutoring programs? I know there are tutoring programs around.
Yes. One suggestion I would have is you say your child's struggling in reading, correct?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely ask them whether there might be special education services that you could access. It depends on what level they're testing at and what grade level they are. But that's certainly a way you could go, because if your child did qualify for that, there are certainly supports for children who have special ed issues. That's one route to go. Otherwise, I mean, I think you're doing the right thing, which is keep asking a lot of people. Have you another one to try is the guidance counselor. Sometimes they are the key to unlocking where things are in schools.
The other thing, ma'am, is call the helpline, 211.
Okay.
And ask, do they have any numbers or referrals for tutoring services?
Okay. And as a suggestion, on the other end of the spectrum, that might be a program that IPS would like to look into implementing, is getting some of these students that are in school that need internships or externships, you know, to come into these lower grades and do tutoring programs.
That is a great question. See, that's why we have the smartest talk show audience in the country. The other thing, ma'am, in October, when the school board candidates come on, make sure you call in or send a question in that day. When we have the candidates that are running for IPS school board.
Right.
You know, because that's what you vote on in November, among other things.
Okay.
Hit them with that question. That's a great question.
Yeah, and okay. ask the school board member who represents your area right now. You could probably figure that out from the school district's website.
Yeah, if you go to myips.com or myips.org,
okay,
and you can get the contact information for your school board member and ask them as well.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be a win-win for both sides, you know.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
For all three sides, for the student, for the school, and for the person that's trying to get a degree.
All right, I appreciate that. Thank you. Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Anonymous, you'll have a minute. We'll try to sneak in one more caller before we go. Hi, Anonymous.
Hi, Amos. The charter schools. I called because I'm just going to say it really quick. The gentleman who was on before the two ladies saying that there's no communication at home, in the black homes, well, he's all face lie. Cause my child goes to a charter school. I ask him every day before I leave the parking lot, what did they teach you today?
Mm.
Did you get it? Do you need help? Did you understand? So don't say all black homes don't ask their children what's going on in school. It's an unfortunate incident, but don't say all black homes. That's not true.
Let me ask you, caller, if your kid had come home and you asked them, hey, how was I-STEP? And they said, oh, it was great. The questions I answered were the questions that they gave us on the pretest. What would you have done?
I'd have went back up to the school, and I would have asked, show me what you showed him. Because my child goes to that crazy, remember Amos, last year it was called Monument Lighthouse.
Yeah.
They lost their charter because of y'all's mayor.
Yeah.
Now it's just called Lighthouse Charter.
Right.
And so my thing is, they had a meeting, they did a rinky-dink meeting to tell us that they were taking the school from us.
Yeah.
But they did not provide us with a meeting to tell us that the new principal and the vice principal was going to be teachers out of the classroom from last year out south, who don't have a clue about being the principal. When you go in their office, their wall is naked. There's no degrees hanging up. So y'all's mayor over these charter schools is letting anybody in. There's not enough supervision over these charter schools to know what's going on. And the lady about her son, my child has an IEP is what it's called,
right,
for reading. And the public school system does not have anything in place, because for 2 years, even with your help, Amos, I look for one. That's what made me put him in a charter school, because the charter school does offer an IEP and they offer reading assistance.
All right, that's a good thing. Let me go to Diana right quick at 239-1310. Diana, you're the last caller. You got about a minute.
Okay, yes. I'm calling because I am a concerned parent and I'm listening to what's going on the radio. And one of my biggest concerns is I didn't hear anyone air that at Flanner House they did a preparatory course for 2 weeks in a row where the children had permission slips and they stayed after school to practice for I-STEP. The next thing I didn't hear was that they basically violated, I feel, our parents and our civil rights by questioning our children without our permission, no permission slips. The next thing I didn't hear was, it smells like to me, from what I've observed, that this looks like it smells like that Neo plan, because it looks like this is very political. And I'm just trying to gather what exactly is going on. My child and my children have performed consecutively under the leadership of Flanner House. I understand, because I sit in a board meeting, what's going on. And I think that right now the city needs to hear the other side, and they need to hear the real voices and the truth behind these accusations. What is the real agenda and what's really happening? Because another thing is, why are parents just now finding out?
Mm-hmm.
Why are parents just now finding out today, right this second? Well, from my understanding, I thought that maybe we should have a little bit more time to prepare. There's no respect. I'm here on the parking lot right now at Flanner House. There are television stations. They've been here this morning. They're not showing no respect and common courtesy for our children. And again, I just feel overall someone needs to look at why are parents' rights being violated along with children. And when you're in a classroom with children that are also special ed and they're in an inclusion classroom, more than likely you probably are going to see where tests are being read. So, again, I see a lot of gaps in what's happening here in the city, and I want to know what's really going to happen.
Diana, would you do me a favor? Because I know you're getting ready to go into the meeting, right?
Yes.
Well, we're going to discuss this on the program tomorrow.
Okay.
So, I'll extend an invitation to you and any parent that wants to call in tomorrow between 1 and 3 and kind of tell us what from their perspective in the meeting. You've raised a couple of questions that even I had in my mind in terms of, were the permissions done in terms of talking to the students. And Scott Elliott from Chalkbeat, Indiana is here, and he heard your concerns as well. One of the reasons that I'm running short of time, one of the reasons they had to make a decision quickly was because of what is called count day. You know, where it
is. You should have asked for parents' permission, though. You don't take children and come into a public facility and access children because you're the mayor's office without parents' permission or some type of approval. And then our children were apparently, that they were put in rooms without a adult supervision and ask questions that, of course, would lean towards these accusations.
Well, you know, and I get the feeling this meeting at 3:30 is going to be off the hook and off the chain. But I will thank you for asking. I'm going to ask a couple of legislators what the law is on that, and we'll hopefully have those answers tomorrow, okay?
Thank you very much, because I want some answers.
I'm with you when you're right, my sister Scott Elliott with Chalkbeat Indiana. That's in.chalkbeat.org. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Amos Brown. Yeah, we're going to talk about this some more. It's Afternoons with Amos. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.